Welcome back to the Privacy Impact Shop, where I'm joined by my good colleague and friend, Sharb Al-Baghdadi.
Hi.
And our guest in for today is Samantha Deeks. Thank you very much for joining us again.
Hi.
Welcome back.
So, Samantha, I've dragged you back in here, screaming and shouting, and thank you, because I know how busy you are. Because I read an article that you were talking about AI, and I know you're so interested in AI. I know you use AI. I know you consult on AI. So, you know the topic. But this article I found absolutely fascinating, and it leads into so many intersections between, GDPR, EU AI Act, what we're seeing with DMA, Digital Marketing Act, and just, you know, personal data, full stop.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you, as you always do, tell one of your wonderful stories about the background to this and how you and this sort of large language model hit it off or not, as the case may be.
Okay, so basically this article came about because I did a little breakfast session. So my background is in PR technology, and we were doing a breakfast session on PR and AI. Just like every sector, everyone in PR is keenly following what AI will do to their jobs, to their livelihood, you know, to everything.
Sorry, already I've interrupted you.
It's fine.
Is there concern in that area about that? Or is there excitement?
It's pretty much, I think, depending on what side of the bed people wake up on, it's either huge excitement or huge anxiety.
I think we've said before, haven't we, you should be just as excited as you are scared.
Yeah, and I think you have the spectrum there, right?
Okay. Sorry, please. Yes.
No.
Continue. So, yes. Sorry.
But so, you know, we had an in-person breakfast session, and one of the things that I was talking about is PR people are all around protecting and promoting the reputation of their organization, and large language models are trained on the entirety of the written word. Okay, and they will ingest more data on a regular basis, and so forth. And the way that large language models, my understanding anyway, of the way large language models are built is they quite often make use of artificial neural networks, which is, you know, replicas of the brain. So you have these little sort of neurons and you have these synapses between the neurons. And what the developers can do is they can change sort of weightings and they can tweak things between these synapses. But stuff goes in at one side, stuff comes out at the other side, and you can't actually tell what's going to come out, right? And every time it does it slightly differently. Just the way a human brain works. So, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell me the same story in exactly the same way twice. So they've done this amazing job of kind of replicating the way the human brain works, but what that kind of means is you lose control. Just like you can't completely control a human, you can't completely control these models.
Sure.
So if you have a database structure where you've got, you know, a column for names and a column for this and whatever, you can kind of go and tweak that, right? You can get rid of things and so forth. But what I was trying to say to the PR people at the meeting was, you're used to looking at the reputation as it's talked about in the media, and you're used to looking at the reputation, you know, in forums and things of this nature. But increasingly, people will stop using browsers and they will use large language models
absolutely.
To find information for you.
100%.
So have you tried asking a large language model, and all of them, what they think about and know about your organization? What they think and they know about you, maybe. Because this has a direct impact on kind of your reputation. And we talked about some technical stuff as well about, like, there is a potential that the more content that they produce, good quality content, long form content, the more likely maybe that the AIs are to take that content and to learn from it and kind of ingest it into their ecosystem.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that aside, I thought after the meeting, I thought, well, let me have a conversation with my AI, Claude, who I for some reason I just like its personality.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I had a conversation and I asked, and this is what the article was. It was basically a transcript of an interview that I did with Claude.
Yeah.
And so I asked Claude, I said, Claude, what can you tell me about PR Glue, which was my old company, something I know a little bit about.
Yes.
And so I said, what do you know about it? And it gave me the standard spiel and it said it was co-founded by Samantha Deakes and by this other person, who I'd never heard of, but I looked him up on LinkedIn and he's an ecology consultant. And
oh, wow.
And I have sent a LinkedIn message to him because I'm wondering if there's some cosmic thing like we should found a company.
Has he
together.
Come back on that?
He hasn't, right?
Hi, so, if you're watching.
Tell me about this now, yeah. Right? Anyway, so I pointed out to Claude, I said, Claude, that's actually wrong. I don't know who this person is. Mm. And he goes, oh, thank you very much. I will rectify that. And I said, but can you rectify that?
Mm.
Like, if someone else now asks you this question, will you still have this? And he goes, well, no, I can't learn from this. My learning has already been done.
Wow.
I was like, okay, so if, for example, you learned on some data that said, like, I don't know, that I was a criminal, that I had been, you know, prosecuted. Mm. Let's say there was some erroneous information out there about me. I'm not actually confessing to any crime.
Tune in next
week. We'll ask Claude.
We'll be crowdfunding for a release.
Yeah. I decided to read the justice system, right? So I said, you know, if you'd been taught on that and that was incorrect, what could I do about it? And he explained to me that, you know, because of the way of these neural networks, there wasn't really anywhere that you could get rid of this data. It's kind of part of the fabric now of its learning.
Right.
So because of the way that data is not stored in databases or anything like that, there's nothing, you know, it would be very difficult for him to do.
Mm.
And he suggested that I would contact Anthropic, who are the owners of Claude. And so I said, then I asked it, so inherently then, no large language model can meet the European, you know, GDPR, you know, right of rectification, you know, all of this sort of stuff. And he said, yes, this is a very, very big challenge for LLMs. And that's because it is. I mean, one good thing about LLMs, they may hallucinate, but they do kind of tell the truth.
Yeah.
Like if you push them. They do tell the truth about themselves and as much as they know.
Mm.
So I put all this transcript together and I said, look, large language models can't respect privacy because they can't. Because of the models on you know, these, they've done too good a job of replicating kind of human thought processes.
Mm.
It's a bit like when you're in you see in courtroom dramas, right? And you see the jury there, right? And they say, the jury will disregard that last statement. It's like, no, they won't. They can't.
It's been said.
Yeah.
It has been said. It cannot be unsaid.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And so this was this kind of, you know, from, as you said, from that arises a whole range of things. And there's one more thing I would say, which I think is interesting, because you do have the European AI Act.
Yes.
And the European AI Act, again, I quite like, right? It's not massively cumbersome.
No.
It basically says there is no AI system that is inherently wrong. It's only your use of it. And it occurred to me this is kind of similar to gun legislation. Like, guns aren't, well, in some places they are, but, you know, it's not that you can't have a gun, it's just you can't use it for certain things. You can't use it to kill people, you can't use it for this, you have to have certain permits, you have to kind of all this sort of stuff. So it's not outlawing the technology. And that's really clever because the technology will change, but human motivation won't.
Mm.
So if you use the technology to undermine democracy, to socially profile people, to and they keep it quite vague because they know that this is going to change so much.
Yeah.
But the so what happens is, I find, is that the AI regulation becomes quite philosophical, and it becomes less about prescribing forms of AI and more about actually redefining, this is going to sound so, redefining humanity.
Mm.
It's about saying, these things are human, these are values that we all believe in,
mm-hmm.
and these are things that should not undermine those. And that is, you know, I got down so many wormholes and rabbit holes and things.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, yeah.
That is a really, really powerful message. So I had this conversation with Claude. I published the transcript, and I would argue that everyone should have a go at doing that for themselves,
mm-hmm.
as in, what do you know about me?
Yeah, yeah.
And also for their organization, especially the sort of the PR people, mm. to understand, you know, a benchmarking for their reputation.
Yeah. Did you explore where this misinformation or this error had come from? Is that...
He can't tell me.
Mm.
Claude.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. It's a bit like...
He's got it from somewhere.
You know, but it could just be just generally...
Well, it's looking for patterns, isn't it? So when it's, you know, it's got, you know, it's looking... You know, it's looking for patterns, and at some point it's sort of weighted through its, you know, that there is a connection somewhere between this individual and the company. And that could be so obtuse. That's mm-hmm. like, you know, 10 years ago, you know, you both were on the same VPN or something.
But the even more insidious thing about this is that this is like this is like gossip. So if someone makes a statement about you
mm.
and they put it online,
yeah.
Mm. A lot of people are seeing the same thing.
Mm. Yeah.
But this is like me whispering in your ear, by the way,
yeah.
so-and-so mm. does this. Because no one else is seeing that one-to-one communication with you in the LLM.
Yeah.
Right? So... And there could be, you know, thousands of these micro mistakes,
mm.
huge amounts of them benign, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
So this idea and this is what people have to, and the more people look for themselves, the more people will understand that this is a there are things that large language models are excellent at, and there's things that they're not, and you have to be aware of these. And these, like I said, these are conversations now. These are personal conversations between one person and the LLM, which no one else will see.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can control this.
So where does that, you know, the crux of that then is, where's the rub between that and the current data protection laws that, you know, we have? Where do you see that going? Do you see, you know, those data protection laws changing to fit this, you know, new paradigm of, you know, of the way people are going to interface and get information? Or do you see that the regulation that is governing the use of these technologies changing? Because we've got, you know, this comprehensive model under the EU Act. We've got a few sort of other acts bubbling away in Singapore and, you know, Brazil, and a couple in sort of state level in the US. But generally speaking, you're right that there is a shift towards deregulation in some of the economies. China's got an AI Act as well coming out, you know, with it. I mean, you spoke about values and things like that. They, you know, they install their values, that sort of national values, into their act. So what's your view on which one's going to change, do you think? Do you think it's going to be the cornerstone of data protection that we've all sort of grown up with and learned to love, and, you know, or this, you know, this approach to govern the use of these technologies?
Well, it's really interesting. There's a little bit at the moment, we've got lots of strands going on. As you said, there's a race towards deregulation, which I think is massively mistaken, because I don't think that, you know, I don't think the EU is over-regulating, but the EU is terrified that it's going to be left behind, and it's worried that regulation is the reason why it isn't creating these multi-billion euro
industries and investment. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I don't necessarily think it's due to regulation, but you know, maybe I'm wrong. But there is this race to the bottom at the moment, because everyone is desperate to get any amount of productivity out of an ever aging population.
Yeah.
And also to survive economically, right?
Yeah.
European. This is the first time in the European Union it's got a declining birth rate, and therefore it can't rely on that to boost its economy. So I get that. But at the same time, I think there's going to be... people just maybe need to get more in there, because it'll only take some big organisations to find out all of this, maybe this whisper campaign, you know, negative stuff that's coming out about them. And maybe we need like a Schrems kind of, you know, Max Schrems for this, to sort of saying, look, my rights have been undermined.
Yep.
Tech companies, what are you going to do about this? I am really not sure, but it is a... And then I suppose the absolute biggest thing is that the majority of people who are purchasing, using, running to get AI, they're doing it so quickly and with so little education.
100%. And I think that's the thing, is where, I mean, my concern is, and I don't want to be all woe and despondency woe, but one of my concerns is that the face will turn to regulation when something really bad happens. When something really bad happens on a large scale, suddenly, because I find it bizarre that only, you know...
Sort of an less AI than a, Grenfell.
Yeah. When, like, yeah, almost. When, yeah, if we go a year ago, when the creators of these were going, we actually need some regulation around that, that seems to have gone away, those voices. You know, they're not so loud now. They're very small. And I think if there is that, so, I mean, to my mind, whilst there is regulation, and I agree with you, I don't think it is over-regulated at all, looking at that act, I think it is more about organisations, although embrace it, use it, you know, you're going to want to do it because it's, you can't uninvent fire.
Yeah.
You know, but the governance of it, I really see is probably even more important than like just data protection, actually.
So this is where my call is out to PR people. And again, this is maybe just the domain that I know. But because whereas I think there's a race to deregulation,
yeah,
I don't think there is a... The reputational harm and the regulation don't coincide.
Mm.
If you use AI to sack half your workforce, that is a reputational issue. You may be you're totally justified in doing it if you want
to. Yeah, it's probably the right business decision. But...
Yeah, but it is a reputation issue. If you use AI... So here's a wonderful one. I have no idea how this got funding. But there is a company out there at the moment that is marketing itself to say, if you don't have time to call your parents all the time, let AI do it for you.
Wow.
Now, this is out there. It's a service you can buy, right? It's the queasiest, most anti-human thing I've heard in a long time. It's not breaking any laws.
No.
But reputationally... Where the hell is that company going to go?
Can I just ask, can you use that service to call friends as well? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there.
Colleagues.
Imagine if it takes on a life of its own,
that is just,
right?
That's huge issue.
And that's hideous on every level. Yeah. But it's hideous because you have this intuitive sense of ick. Right?
Yeah.
It's the uncanny valley in terms of...
Yes, you're right. But I could ask someone else and go, what do you think? I go, that's a fact. There would be zero ick. It would be, that's brilliant. Because I can't bear talking to my dad or mum.
Well, then don't... Anyway, sorry. Yes. But these are conversations around what it means to be human.
Yeah.
Again, right? Mm. What does it mean to be human?
Yeah.
But I would say that I think there's a real... opportunity here for PR and comms people to actually get to grips with the taxonomy of harms,
yes,
around AI, and understand those from a reputational point of view.
Yeah.
And use those to craft properly inclusive and positive AI policies.
Well, I think probably there's maybe a bigger piece of work. Well, not a bigger piece, but a more fundamental. And I'm just thinking about the world that you kind of understand and know, is some sort of perhaps charter around AI use for, you know, public relations. Because it is a duality, isn't it? Because public relations, from what you've so eloquently explained to us on this, you know, session and previous sessions, you know, it's about protecting, you know, or, you know, managing, enhancing, you know, an organization's or individual's reputation.
Yeah.
And if you get that wrong, that must surely affect, you know, do public relations firms depend on their reputation as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how do you manage there's whole swathes of PR which are just around crisis comms.
Yeah.
You know, how do you manage, you know, the horrible situation when the CEO has been caught with their finger in the till, or you're going bankrupt, or you've lost everyone's data, or, you know, all of these kinds of things. So,
or you've had to get rid of a load of people.
You've had to get rid of a load of people, or the technology that you're using has been used. The harms, the personal harms, societal harms, environmental harms, you know, all of these are a PR person's bread and butter.
Yeah, yeah.
AI just does it at scale.
Yes.
And also, if you don't quite understand it, you could find that there's a lot of stuff embedded into your processes, which, as you rightly said, the Grenfell example is actually really good. You know, they built Grenfell, they put the cladding on, and they put that cladding on everyone else because of deregulation. And now you have this issue and you have to unpick it. So, like, a PR person to understand the fundamentals, I think, would be instrumental in making sure that they help guide their organization away from high risk paths. Not high risk in terms of regulation,
but
high
them.
Risk in terms of reputation.
So this has been, it's been fascinating, really, really interesting. Thank you so much for joining us. Just briefly, where can our listeners and viewers find more information about yourself?
LinkedIn is my place. So just Samantha Deeks on LinkedIn. There's only one of me, I think. So there we go.
We'll have to ask Claude.
Yeah, exactly.
So thank you, as always. Thank you so much for joining us and for listening and for watching. And this has been the Privacy Impact Shop with my good friend and colleague, Shahab Al-Baghdadi, and our guest in for today, Samantha Deeks. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the next one. Take care and see you later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.